Thanks for listening to the Adam Carolla Show on Podcast One.
Well, we got the news coming up. Got a story about a black lady who's going to make some money after she's dead, and another story about a black dude who could be going to jail, but is the brother of somebody very famous. Lots of commentary all coming up. First, NetSuite by Oracle. Problem with your growing business? Well, the hodgepodge of business systems. One for accounting, another for sales, another for inventory. It's a mess. NetSuite by Oracle. Managed software, and it handles all aspects of your business, and it's an easy-to-use cloud platform. Save time, save money, save headaches by managing sales, finance, accounting. You can do orders, and you can do HR instantly and right from your desktop or phone. The world's number one cloud business system. And right now, NetSuite is offering a valuable insight. They're giving you insights about business with a free guide, 7 key strategies to grow your business and grow your profits at netsuite.com/M. They'll give you some good insights and grow that business, man. And you can download it for free. It's a free guide. 7 strategies to grow your profits at netsuite.com/Adam.
Give me the news with Grad. News with Gino Grad. Breaking viral. All those crazy Trump tweets. Give me news with Gino Grad. Trouble in the Middle East. Celebrity drunk meltdowns. Need news with Gino Grad.
The news with Gina Grad.
We talked a little bit about the hurricane, and it is Hurricane Dorian has claimed the lives of at least 5 people in the Abaco Islands. That's from Monday evening. Although the storm has been downgraded a little bit, it was continuing to slam the area Monday. Rescue crews were continuing to search and assist those in need of help while weather conditions allowed it. While the storm hovered over the northern Bahamas on Monday, it continues to head toward the east coast of the U.S., and everyone's kind of hunkering down in the Florida area again.
Yeah, it's weird how we are with storms. It's weird how we are with weather just in general. Like, it's here, it's always here, it's always around.
Always
we're
surprised.
Always, like, discussing it, and then also kind of trying to figure out, like, what's going on? Right. How are we doing it? How can we how can we control this?
Did you hear Trump's suggestion?
Nuke them!
Nuke it! Nuke the hurricane!
Yes.
Would that work?
I couldn't tell you. I think one of the top aides in the room said, "We'll work on that, sir," and walked out of the room.
I'm sure... Listen, I learned from watching John Wayne's Hellfighters about Red Adair, who'd put out oil well derrick fires or oil fires. They'd drop TNT and blow them out.
Damn.
So if you can blow out, I like when people then do this.
If you can blow out a fire.
So if you can blow out a fire, you can blow out a hurricane.
You can nuke the rain.
What's the difference?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we'll keep an eye on that. Simone Biles, the, of course, phenom gymnast, in the news for a very strange reason.
Oh, her and her good posture.
Yeah.
I hate people who have a really good posture. I'm like, oh, look, they feel good about
themselves. What do they know? What do they know? I don't know.
Every time you talk to someone about posture, they go, put your chin out, pull your shoulders back. And I go, what? So people think I feel good about myself?
Yeah.
What are you, insane?
Putting on airs.
I'm fucking walking around looking like I feel good about myself.
I hear you.
I'm trying to send you.
Well, she probably doesn't feel very good about herself right now because she is speaking out about her brother who was arrested and charged for a triple murder on New Year's Eve. So he's 24 years old, Tevin Biles Thomas. He was arrested for killing 3 people and injuring 2 others on New Year's Eve.
It's got to be weird, too, when she's like the crazy gymnast and she's like, let me explain my brother. He did a triple axel. Just let me finish.
Homicide.
Lindy?
Let me finish. Like, you probably, if she starts triple, you go, it's her brother. You figure he's into gymnastics too. Or what is he, an ice skater? What do you do? Triple lots? Just let me finish.
Getting colder.
Probably shouldn't start with triple.
This happened at an Airbnb in Cleveland. Police arrested him last week, charged with, and remember, this happened New Year's Eve, and he just got arrested. Multiple counts of murder, voluntary manslaughter, and assault. Of course, Simone tweeted Monday night, my heart aches for everyone involved. You know, there's nothing that I can say that will heal anyone's pain. I do express my sincere condolences to everyone affected by this. So just a little background on him. They weren't raised together. Biles Thomas is Simone's biological brother, yes, but they didn't grow up together. She and her 3 siblings were placed in foster care when when she was three. She was eventually adopted by her grandparents and raised in Houston. The other two raised by another family member. It took the police 8 months to investigate this murder.
Kids. Yeah. Well, we'll take the one who's really on the pommel horse.
Yeah.
Shit.
The shouting. The shooting occurred when a fight broke out at a house. Apparently, Biles and a couple of buddies showed up at this house party uninvited, and they said, you know, got a little heated, and a fight broke out, and he just started shooting.
Jesus Christ.
So that's the whole chasm, right, between siblings? Olympic, you know, 18-time medalist.
Yeah. I mean, again, there's the Swayze brothers, but you really don't get any wider than those. That's funny. I was just thinking about all the shootings and stuff. I'll take a deeper dive into this tomorrow, but I was telling Chris to look up some stuff. I'm like, you know, guns. And I said, go back and look in the 1950s. What was gun ownership percentage-wise?
High.
And it's like, it's higher than it is now. You know, but so this notion of gun ownership has fallen since the 1950s. But dads not raising their kids, that's gone up a lot since the 1950s. That's not a subject we ever discuss. We're going to focus on the guns. And it's like, well, if I'm just trying to solve a problem and one thing remains the same, like gun ownership, there's actually less of it, and the other one has changed dramatically, I think there's a correlation between young men who are angry using firearms in these situations. So in my world, at least it could be on the table, potential things to discuss versus a taboo subject that no politician will ever bring up. So I was saying to Chris, and I'll get into it more, but it's like, you know, people used to raise their kids and they used to go to church and they used to keep an intact family. And then there was lots of guns, but there wasn't a lot of mass shootings. Now there's a little less guns percentage wise, but a lot less church and a lot less family and a lot less dad and a lot more shootings. So, I don't know. I feel like the focus on other factors here than the actual gun. Now, you can go pharmaceuticals. Okay. There's something to look in there. I don't know. Violent video games
or
something like
that. I'm sure it's a complicated stew with a lot of ingredients.
I'm sure, but they're big, old, fat chunks of fucking meat that are floating at the top of it, and that's no dads. That's
You'd have to ask Chris to find out. I don't know if this is even knowable. What percentage of mass shooters come from a family with no dad, or you know, didn't have a dad in their life?
It's a large percentage.
It's a very large percentage.
But so maybe there'll be a town hall on that on CNN.
Oh, sure. Put in your calendar.
We're just going to talk about gun control. Okay. Yeah, it's a large percentage. You don't have dad. Well, it stands to reason. You don't. Your dad is kind of the parent that keeps the young boy out of that world. But anyway. What do I know? And why should we ever discuss it?
We won't.
Okay.
That's like the that one moment in the Chappelle show where he says, I hate guns. I have a lot of them, but I hate guns. I think that's just where a lot of people are.
Mm-hmm.
Kevin Hart on the mend after going under the knife Sunday, less than 24 hours after he injured his back in a horrific car accident. I mean, truly horrific. Showing you a picture of the car. That's according to TMZ. One of the comic's friends was driving Kevin's Plymouth Barracuda down Mulholland Highway early on Sunday. The sports car veered off the road, crashed through some wooden fencing, rolled, crushing the car's roof on impact.
Jesus.
According to initial reports, both Kevin and the driver suffered major back injuries. Another passenger did not require the hospital treatment. I believe that ended up being the friend's wife. Apparently alcohol, not a factor. A member of Hart's security team swooped in, scooped them up from the scene, took him home for medical attention before going to the hospital. The wreck was apparently so bad the fire department had to saw the roof off to free the trapped passengers.
Yeah, we're looking at a Barracuda and it's literally missing the roof.
I have a question. I didn't understand. The security, private security, like his bodyguards or whatever, took him home, took the car home where it had to be.
No. Once Kevin was out of the car, I think took him back before taking him to the hospital.
What about the fire department? I'm sorry, it sounds strange that the fire department had to cut the roof off the thing, but they brought them home. You know what I'm saying? To get
maybe Kevin insisted.
No,
something doesn't add up.
Something seems weird. Read that one part about the private.
It
the
says,
security detail.
Yeah, sure. A member of Hart's security team swooped in and scooped him up from the scene in an SUV and took him home for medical attention before going to the hospital. The wreck was apparently so bad the fire department had to saw the roof off to free the trapped occupant.
I'm with Brian. Once they
was
get
he ejected from the car? Because he was scooped up, and then they had to come. You know what I mean?
To free the trapped occupants.
It's like a riddle.
Or occupant.
Well, okay, this is occupants. But when I read on TMZ, just the guy's wife was in the back. So there might be two differing stories trying to figure out who all was in the car.
Anyway.
they took the piggy bank home.
I'll tell you this. You know, these guys, they have a lot of money, and it's kind of new money. And they go out to one of these places, and they get a crazy car built. And this thing, I don't know a lot about it, but they take like a 60s era car, right? Like a Hemi Cuda or Barracuda from this, you know, 1971 or something. And then they put in a new crate Hellcat engine with like 750 horsepower, right? Now all of a sudden you're essentially driving around a street legal race car with no real experience driving that car or any safety thoughts or anything.
With airbags.
No airbags from the 60s. They won't retrofit any 70s, 60s, whatever.
So it's an unsafe car at very high speeds.
Well, you're driving around a car has a monster amount of power with who knows worth of, you know, it's not like it's got a bunch of safety testing or anything. It's like, we're going to take this giant motor, we're going to beef it up. I mean, Chris will take a look and see if they shoehorned like a modern Demon or Hellcat motor into the car. There's probably some pictures of the car with the hood open or whatever it is. But the point is this. I love the guys who build these cars, but they're crazy vehicles, and the people who drive them are comedians or actors. They're not race car drivers. And you get into it a little bit, and it'll bite you, like, pretty hard and pretty fast.
And you did say they're on Mulholland Highway?
That's the next thing I was going to mention.
That's a notoriously curvy road.
Very windy.
Yes, and all you got to do is go, I'm going to get into it, and you put your foot down, and you haven't really exited the turn, and the rear end just comes flying around, and you go sliding off the road. Now,
could be worse.
I would say, when you build these cars, I would put a roll cage in it just as a matter of thought. It stiffens the whole thing up, which is good. But at a certain point, when you're building a little rocket ship for the super rich guy to drive around in, but you got the whole thing down to the tub. It's a bare tub. It's in whatever. Put the cage in. Mm. Sorry. Go ahead, Max. Better.
Has a Hellcat V8 Hemi swapped.
There it is. Well, who could ever have seen that one coming?
Nobody.
The Hellcat, I guess the Demon has the most, and the Hellcat had like 705 or something like that. But it's basically taking a 60s era car and putting 700 horsepower into it, and it's a monster. And if you're going to do that, put a roll cage in it. That's basically what I'm saying.
Wow. It is pretty, though.
It is one of the times, I bet Kevin Hart is glad he's that short. Because...
Indeed.
You don't want, like, Pete Holmes would have never walked away from that wreck.
Well, Thomas Markle wants to reconcile with his estranged daughter, Meghan, so he can meet little grandson, Archie. In an interview with Britain's Daily Mail, the 75-year-old said, "Of course I'm disappointed not to see Archie. I'd hope becoming a mother would mellow out Meghan and she would reach out to me." The former Hollywood lighting director said his issues with the Duchess are only recent. He said he stayed quiet because Meghan was pregnant, but he's speaking out now because Meghan and her PR team have cut him out of the picture. And it's, of course, been speculated that Meghan is holding off on pictures because she's afraid he's going to sell them to the tabloids, because that's what he's built the reputation for.
Yeah, women have memories like elephants about bad dads. Not so much with math equations or where you put your keys or stuff that you use, but in terms of harboring hatred for dad,
in terms of childhood trauma,
never goes away.
I mean, it does pay off sometimes.
Hey, everybody! Her dad was abusive and abusive. That's right, he used her and he abused her. Now she's abusing a pole with her twat. Stage nine. Megan, stage nine. Markle. Stage drive. Yeah, all right, bring a little. I'll watch Archie. Yeah. All right. So it never ends.
But this guy sounds like
you got a little window. I know he's horrible, but I'm trying to tell everyone there's a little fucking window where you have to pretend to be into your kids. It's like.
You in that, Brian?
It's a weird way to phrase it, but I guess I'll just spirit it.
There's a little fucking window.
When does yours start?
It's zero to five, then it's 5, 6 years. Somebody, you know, with the girls, it's like shit. Also, by the time they get to like 14, they don't want you anything to do with you because they're all about their friends.
Got
to
drop them off 2 blocks from school.
And all that kind of stuff. It's not. It's a. And again, zero to six. Like who really? It's you got this window of about 8 years where I have to pretend to care from like you know
eight
like,
consecutive years,
like 6 to 14.
Yeah,
well, pick and choose. I mean,
you got to string together a few consistent years, having a decent like what would be considered a decent Major League Baseball career, not an All Star career, not a Hall of Famer career. Just you got to hit
serviceable platoon player.
Yeah, you hit about. You hit 261 for about 8 years in the show.
Play some solid defense.
And you'll be fine. That'll be that.
Yeah.
Or you be a fucking dick during that time, and then she'll just go on and hate you for the rest of her entire life.
Yeah. And I couldn't help but think, Megan has to be the only little girl on the planet that ever said, I'm going to run away and be a princess, and pulled it off. And never has to talk to him again.
I know. And They love paying them back too, and
shutting them out.
Yeah, guys are a little more, I don't know, resilient or fluid or something. I don't know. Guys,
well, sometimes they shoot up.
They'll just drink and punch someone.
Yeah. They drink and punch someone. All right, let me hit Geico. Everyone's got the to-do list. How about you add save a bunch of money on your car insurance, and you don't have to even leave the house. Just go to Geico.com. 15 minutes, you could be saving 15% or more on your auto insurance. You take that extra money, put it in your pocket. It'll be the most rewarding thing you do all day. That is Geico. Geico.com. All right, what else we got?
9 years after her death, Whitney Houston will be back on the road next year in hologram form.
She's been dead for 9 years.
9 years. Producers
crazy,
tell
right?
music. Yeah, yes. I remember when it happened. We
now,
were at the Grammys.
I always bring up the Heath Ledger thing, like well over a decade. But if you brought up Whitney Houston, I'd be like, five, and coming on to 10 years.
Yeah,
Jesus.
I was doing Radio Row at the Grammys, and we all got noticed that morning. I can't believe it's been that long. Producers tell Music Week that the much discussed tour, which got the green light from Whitney's estate, is a definite go. Although an exact date isn't clear yet. Seth Faber of Primary Wave, which is staging the event, says so much effort has gone into making the show as authentic as possible. It's going to be phenomenal. The company's Buddy Holly and Roy Orbison hologram show kicks off in the UK next week.
It's a matter of time.
A lot of them.
Yeah.
They did Dio and Amy Winehouse.
This was foretold in the movie Blade Runner 2049. Came out last year, the year before, whatever it was. Remember? You saw that movie, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Well, anyway, Ryan Gosling goes to like now burnt out Las Vegas.
Yeah.
It's like a nuclear Holocaust site. And that's where Harrison Ford's living. And he goes into like an old burnt out casino. And like the old Elvis starts playing on a hologram. Clearly, there was an attraction there for a number of years. Hologram Elvis.
Mm. Well, we're talking about, I'm going to see De Niro this weekend. We're talking about The Irishman, I think.
I can't wait for that.
They're going to make a young version of everybody.
That's
cautiously optimistic of them.
We're now kind of in a world where we can young people up and age them over move them down. And
yep.
I don't know. Like once we capture enough of everybody, will we...
We're expendable.
I mean, what do we even need them for? And the real kind of question is, when do we get to the point where we create new things for the person? Which is to say, we have a million hours of De Niro talking with every word in the dictionary. You know, we can arrange when De Niro's gone. Can we write a new script and arrange the words to fit our new script and star De Niro?
I got most of an answer for you. Chris, you're not a big Star Wars guy, but did you ever see Rogue One, the one that came out like 3 or 4 years ago? It's a really good movie. Anyway, the point is, Peter Cushing, who was in Star Wars back in 1977. He's been dead for however many years. They needed the Peter Cushing character because it took place at the same time. They made a completely CGI and very convincing Peter Cushing in this 2016-17 movie, whatever it was. Christie and I saw it together, and at the end of the movie, I was like, did you notice anything weird about that one character?
Oh,
he goes, yeah, he was really weird looking. I'm like, yeah, he wasn't real. He was completely digital, and it was completely convincing.
Well, and to your point, it's a little bit...
a clip of that.
It's a little different, but you know the whole deep fake thing where you can make Obama say something he never said or Trump say something he never said. The craziest one is the most recent one of Bill Hader, an old Bill Hader interview with David Letterman where he does an impression of Tom Cruise, he does an impression of Seth Rogen, and as he does it, they get his face to morph into both of those guys, and it is the freakiest thing you've ever seen.
Sounds
and that's going to be very normal and commonplace now.
Yeah, the only... upside to any of this is, I suppose, if you're a starlet and you're
never
with some...
age.
Well, yeah. So if you're a starlet and, you know, Ray J's mounting you from behind, I don't have to call me Johnny, and they throws it up on the internet without your consent, you can now just go...
deepfake.
No.
Isn't that me?
It's a deepfake.
Isn't that me?
Mm-hmm.
I know
so
it looks
it's
like
very convincing.
Someone did a great job
the
on the computer, but that ain't
good
me.
Porn name too.
You, there, you always get to sort of live under the veil of
that's not me.
Is that me? It's kind of. I don't know. In a weird way, it's kind of OJ. Like we know you murdered the person. Like, well, where's the knife?
Yeah, prove it.
Yeah, like you always get to have that little wasn't me
nugget of
right.
Watch this quick clip. This is a completely CGI character. Of a guy who's been dead for however many decades.
We've heard word of rumors circulating through the city. Apparently, you've lost a rather talkative cargo pilot.
Wow. Huh? Crazy.
Not bad.
I mean, knowing with the retrospect that he is digital, you can kind of tell, but like, that's pretty convincing.
I didn't even know that till today, so. And I've seen the movie a few times.
And I mean, let's not forget, I mean, they just shot half of Fast and Furious with Paul Walker and literally cobbled together. Yeah. The whole second half of the movie without him.
Yep. So,
We're there.
Well, this story's a little old, but you brought up De Niro, so let's talk about it. De Niro is sending a message with his $6 million lawsuit against a former employee he accuses of embezzlement and binge-watching Netflix on the job. And this is just from about a week and a half ago. Chase Robinson, who was promoted from De Niro's assistant to vice president of production finance at his company Canal Productions, allegedly racked up exorbitant hotel and restaurant charges and used millions of De Niro's frequent flyer miles for personal trips. And the company says, Chase is a lady. She rarely came into work, and when she did, she spent, quote, astronomical amounts of time watching Netflix during work hours. Chase supposedly watched 55 episodes of Friends in 4 days, and during another 4-day period, allegedly watched 20 episodes of Arrested Development.
She just left it on.
That's what
the
I'm
clock.
Thinking, too. And 10 episodes of Schitt's Creek. Well, great shows. The suit also alleges that Robinson, whose salary was $300,000, made $13,000 in unauthorized charges at restaurants over a 2-year period, $9,000 at high-end grocery stores, and $32,000 for Ubers and taxis.
Jesus. Mm.
I'll ask Bobby when I see him.
Please
Saturday.
Do. Yeah,
please.
Ask Bob.
Yeah, I definitely want to hear about that.
Want the dirt on that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, speaking of dirt, Justin Bieber publicly confessed his sins that included abusing heavy drugs. That's his most recent post on Instagram to his followers, 118 million Instagram
I'll ask
followers.
I'll Baldwin about Steve and his brother who's daughter's married to
That'd
Biebs.
Be great. Yeah, that's right. Ask about Haley. Basically, Justin blamed his early fame and immaturity that led to, quote, doing pretty heavy drugs at 19 and abused all my relationships. He says he became resentful, disrespectful to women, angry. Justin opened up about his treatment for depression and anxiety. For most of the year, he's attended couples counseling with Haley Baldwin Bieber, and they're due at the end of the month to renew their vows in a religious wedding ceremony, and he considers this a new beginning, new chance at life.
I don't know. I'm
worried.
We talked
about that. Who are you worried about?
Well, I don't know. The part where you transition into something else or you have an awakening or spiritual awakening, whatever, I'm all for it. It's just when you kind of put it on display, it makes me worry about the not really worry, but it flies in the face. It flies in the face of what you're doing. You know what I mean? So it's sort of like you going... I'm going to go down to the soup kitchen and feed the poor, and then you take a billboard out
or of live
you going
it.
To the... Yeah. Yes. Now it's like, I'm glad you're doing it, but I'm not now... it makes me wonder what exactly you're doing.
No, I get
why
that.
You're doing it.
I had the same
it's
question.
It's better than, you know, breaking into cars. I just don't like... I'm a little dubious of people like announce yeah. what they're doing all the time.
Yeah,
you know?
I completely agree. The only thing I could think of when it came to like, why is he putting this out there? Is it some sort of 12-step inventory?
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know if I have no idea, but I didn't know if that was like maybe in the recovery program telling everyone, you know, this is what I'd done wrong. Although I know that's supposed to be a very personal thing, too, for people.
Yeah.
Instead of announcing it on Instagram.
Yes,
I don't know.
Yes, Margaret Cho. She nailed me, man.
Oh, yeah. She tried.
I'm the worst guy for the ninth step or whatever that step is. Like, hey, listen, I want to. Yeah. No.
All's
fine.
Good.
No, it's really important that I do this.
Yeah. Just hand me that beer. All's forgiven.
I don't drink anymore.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Give me the beer.
Okay.
Anyway, whatever you did. Good luck with it.
Water the room.
I really feel like I need to say these words check this box.
Yeah, I get it. But let me give you some context. When I was 17, I was tackled and had human fecal matter shoved into my ear during school hours.
Okay.
All right?
Yeah. Are you doing your inventory right now?
No, but I'm saying I've been attacked with baseball bats. I've had bottles broken over me.
Oh, my God.
I had my shoulder dislocated for 4 days once.
Oh, what I did is nothing.
I slept on a fucking floor in a garage. Hey, don't worry about me.
Oh, sweet.
Yeah, we're good.
Thanks.
Go find somebody.
On to Norm MacDonald.
Really did some damage to you. Okay. Yeah. Oh, I need the beer.
Oh, sorry. Yeah, I don't want to touch it anyway.
Yeah, for you.
Oh.
I mean,
no.
For me.
God.
For both of us. Anyway.
Cheers.
Godspeed.
No.
Yeah.
Police will be reviewing security camera footage in an attempt to identify a man who pulled a gun on the manager of Popeyes after being told the restaurant had run out of the new chicken sandwich.
Jew.
Definitely not a Jew.
Thank you.
Cops say that the suspect was among a group of two men and three women who arrived at the Houston drive-thru shortly before 9 p.m. to order the new sandwiches that everybody's talking about.
Can I go a little Bill Maher here with
sure.
New Rule?
Please.
Like Max Pata was... talking to me like, hey, there's a news story about a guy suing Popeye's chicken. Like, people are so fucking crazy now. They're like suing their cats and
yeah.
suing Popeye's for running out of chicken sandwich. It's no longer a story for me. Like, we're nuts. Mm. Like, that was a story from a happier bygone era.
Right.
That was a story.
Oddity.
Like, that was like when the old rich woman wanted to be buried in her Cadillac.
Yeah.
You know, these were fun stories. Now,
I left her estate to her cat.
Yeah, the fucking wheels have come off the wagon now.
Carl Lagerfeld.
And these stories, everyone's insane.
Yeah. Doesn't move the needle.
I'm sure everyone's suing Popeyes for running out of chicken.
Because I think that guy's quote was, I'm suing because without the chicken, I can't be happy.
Can I say this? Why? And I get it. But in a world where you can kind of make everything at home, why is the chicken sandwich a bridge too far? Like, it doesn't feel like it's got that many moving parts. I get it. You can't. But why not?
Like, yes, and I would love to get any of these people who swear by Popeyes or whatever. Let's do a blind taste test.
Not Chick-fil-A.
Yeah, you taste this one, you taste that one.
Burger King.
You don't know which one's which. You tell me what you like better.
Well, in early 2021, when they come back, we'll do
it. Or if you can even tell the difference.
Yeah.
A vegan sued their neighbor for barbecuing meat in their own backyard.
Just minutes ago.
Yeah,
pretty good.
I have that too.
It is so game on.
Remember when Morrissey left the stage because he could smell meat in the concession stand?
That was one of my... I had two great stories. One time, I was talking to porn star Ginger Lynn about some old-time porn guy who seemed a little rough. Seemed like he treated the ladies rough.
Mm.
And I said to her, Ginger, if that's your real name, I said, what about this guy? I don't know, John Leslie or whatever his name was. I can't remember. It's like a Ron Jeremy, John Leslie. There had a few different guys poking around back then. I said, that guy seemed a little rude or a little like he was crossing the line. Like he was the kind of guy.
It was debonair.
Like, kind of grabbing him by the neck a little bit. And she's like, no, he was a good guy. He's a good guy.
Well,
he's a guy. And then she like paused and she went, one time he did dry anal rape on me. But, you know, other than that, like she was saying it like he used the wrong fork for a salad.
Well, it came to her after a second like, there was the one incident.
I tried to block it out.
Right. So I was thinking, wait, what were we just talking about before this?
Chicken.
Sorry. Chicken.
Chick-fil-A. Suing the neighbor.
Suing the goddamn neighbor for barbecue.
Yeah.
God, I can't remember what I was going to talk about. But anyway, that story reminded me. Yeah, that,
this
for some
dude.
Reason.
And Morrissey.
Morrissey. Yeah. Oh, sorry, Morrissey. That's where we left off. Morrissey. I was talking to a guy who was like Morrissey's tour manager or something. Ugh. And I was like, is he difficult? Like, I feel like he's difficult. I don't know. I've never met Morrissey, and I like his music. But I was like, I've heard he was difficult. And he's like, no. I don't know why people need to give the wrong answer immediately and then go back and undo their answer by saying something that supports my thought.
As though Morrissey is looking over his shoulder.
Right. Like, nah, he's a good guy. He's like a regular guy. He's a regular. You know, and I'm like, oh. So you just went out on tour with Morrissey? He's just a regular guy? Because I heard he's like eccentric and weird and moody or whatever. And he's like, no, he's a fine guy. One time we were pulling up to the venue and his name was misspelled, so we just kept driving and he never did the show.
The
and it's like, there's 3,000 people in the venue. Somebody misspelled his name on the marquee and they just kept driving. And you don't think that's an asshole? And that guy's dick?
No, that's a normal guy.
Okay, but anyway, thank you for providing a fine example of what I was just alluding to moments earlier when you answered with, no. Nah,
yeah. And contradicts your initial no.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. All right, let's bring it home.
You got it. I'm Gina Grad, and that's the news. She needs an emotional support salad.
Gina Grad.
That was the news with Gina Grad.
Castrol Edge, stronger under pressure. Engines can lose up to 10% of performance due to friction. Castrol Edge with fluid titanium transforms under pressure. Keep them metal parts from rubbing and robbing. All the friction, you know. Three times.
Three times, fool.
Stronger than leading full synthetic against viscosity breakdown. Oh, yeah. It's Castrol Edge. Formulated in ways to exceed the toughest industry standards. It is Castrol Edge. Hey, Dog the Bounty Hunter in studio tomorrow. That ought to be a good one.
I'm so excited.
Yeah, I am too. Good sports coming up. Just added, we got our Lexington, Kentucky show coming up. That'll be September 20th. We're doing a live pod there. And then there's live Adam Carolla stand-up shows everywhere. Just go to adamcarolla.com. Just saw the ratings. They went up. So thank you very much for sharing the good news and just share with a friend. Check out Not Taco Bell Material, my stand-up special at Amazon and Apple TV, Chassis and all that. Check out our YouTube stand-up station or channel, youtube.com/Adam Carolla. All that and comedians of Adam Carolla show is coming up. While Brian's going to be performing, I'm going to be performing, Fitzog's going to be performing, Jeff Cesario, Adam Ray. Just go to adamcarolla.com and look for all the live shows because they're coming to a town near you. And last with Paul Bryan, going to sell out, man.
That's almost there.
Almost there, November 2nd at the Avalon in Hollywood. And you get tickets at laughswithbaldbryan.com. So, till next time, Adam Carolla for Gina Grad and Paul Bryan. Say mahalo.
Oh, you can't let that white boy talk to you that way.
Stick around. Today's episode of Good Sports with Dave Damashek and Adam Carolla is up next.
Ace and Shecky, let's do it. Good Sports.
The Podcast One Sports Network presents Good Sports.
Hi, hello, sports fans. Welcome to a brand new episode of Hot Sports Talk here on Good Sports. Dave Damashek here, Adam Carolla over there. Quick note of thanks to everybody who drops me at least a line on social media and otherwise to say how much they enjoy Good Sports. Believe me, it's one of the great delights for me every week all year getting to talk with Ace, but appreciate the feedback on that. Ace, we are now 24 hours, maybe even closer, depending on when you're listening, from kickoff. Bears, Packers, the oldest rivalry, some consider it the best, a kickoff to the 100th year of the NFL. It's here, Ace.
They're the best uniforms, right?
No.
Well, they've remained unchanged
pretty
for
close.
The most
pretty
part.
Close.
I feel like the Packers, I mean, they change hues a little bit, but I feel like they've been
very
relatively
little change
unmolested.
That's
right?
That's pretty close. I mean, I can get into the nitty gritty. They have green face masks. They used to have the gray. Mm. They used to have more ornate striping on their socks, the Packers. They no longer have that. But yeah, more or less. The one that is almost completely unchanged, and in my opinion, is the most satisfying uniform matchup in pro football is when the Kansas City Chiefs, in their red pants and white jerseys, head to Oakland to play their silver and black. I think you can't do any better.
No, you can't.
Although the Steelers hosting the Raiders looks good, too. Anyhow, yes. Ace, let's talk about the Raiders quickly, because Hard Knocks is a wrap for another year. I don't mind telling you. You know, I love Hard Knocks. I know you do. I'm a little disappointed. We didn't get any. I don't know what happened there, but we didn't get much Vontez. We didn't get a whole lot of Incognito.
I also miss the Turk, you know, where they're cutting people.
Every week. That was the satisfying element, right?
Yeah, just watching guys on the bubble, talking to their mom or their best girl, wondering what's going on. That sort of weird thing where you were waiting for their phone not to ring, sort of hoping the phone wouldn't ring. It's, you know, they had this window, and it's like if the phone didn't ring by this time, they were safe, and then it would ring, but you wouldn't know who was on the other end of it. Also, it struck me that the Turk, at least in season whatever, would go everyone's apartment at 6 a.m. or something.
That was the Bengals, and it was funny because the Bengals were informed by the reception that they got from Hard Knocks from the general public. Like, hey, some teams, the owner does it. Like, Jerry Jones, say whatever you want. The owner's like, hey, I want to talk to you about we're going to let you go there, but you can still play ball now.
Right.
And then the head coach does it. For the Bengals, they would just have the Turk go and wake you up under the cloak of night and get your playbook and usher you out of the building with no dignity. You're just breaking the guy's heart. Can't you let him at least have a decent night's sleep first?
And also, you know, the guy's sitting there. He's got a boner. He's got to take a leak, you know. Like, come on. Let the guy get through the night. I totally agree. I also, you know, I did like, it's always a weird thing because they have to, while they're simultaneously explaining to this person, we have 53 souls on this team, but you did not make the cut of 53. You know, I get it with The Bachelor. There's one rose at the end and one rose only, and there's 22 guys, and we got to narrow it down.
Yeah, the
one.
Math makes sense for you to but lick your emotional wounds.
This like, is The Bachelor where we start with 22 guys and we cut it down to 17, and you didn't make the cut.
It's humiliating.
But we're explaining how good a lover you are and how sexy you look in your underpants and just how hard you worked in bed, but we're still telling you there's the door.
Now, that's not to say that you can't put a good loving on another woman. It's just not going to be this woman anymore.
The other team,
don't let me tell you you shouldn't love other women. You're just not going to love this woman ever again.
Right. So it's 53 dudes and you didn't make a cut of 53, which never sounds great, you know, because you think, well, I didn't make the podium, but I came in fourth or whatever. You didn't come in 53rd. That's what I'm saying. Now, I get there's different positions. I understand that. But you didn't make the cut. And so what the person has to do in this dismissal of you is I need you to bring you. You need to sit down in the office. You need to give me your playbook because we don't trust you. Obviously, you could have taken this to any Kinko's in the land and made 30 copies of it by now and sent it all over the country. But either way, I need this book. I don't trust you with this book anymore. Obviously, it's a book you didn't study too closely because if you looked at it a little, if you'd committed it to memory, maybe we wouldn't be having this conversation.
Yeah.
But you're just going to sit down here with your boner after the Turk brought you in, and then I'm going to simultaneously explain on how impressed I am over you and why you need to leave.
I remember there was that episode of Cheers where Norm discovered that it was the role of a life or the job of a lifetime for him to be the Turk.
Right.
I would be the world's worst Turk because I would just be too uncomfortable. I would have to over-explain why we were doing this and rationalize it for him and then patronize him. I admire it, the discomfort that those coaches will put themselves through when they're like, sorry, we got to let you go. And then they just sit there.
Well, also.
Because otherwise you are just patronizing the guy like, hey, now, you want to play football. You should keep doing it. Like,
you know what would make the worst Turk? Cousin Sal. Because it would be like 5:45 and he'd be like. And the guy would open the door and he'd go, hey, man, I need your playbook. And the guy would go, oh, man. Yeah, just follow me, Jamal. My name's James. Oh, this is 501, right? No, that's 503. 501 is... Oh. All right. Well, as you were.
Could be his greatest practical joke ever.
He'd do that to everybody.
He'd do it to the starting
he'd
quarterback.
He'd knock on everyone's door at 6 a.m.
Sorry, Mahomes, you're out, man. Like,
I need you to play
ball. I can't get you. Can't cut me.
I'm the Turk. I do what I do.
That would be funny if the Turk went rogue sometime, just started cutting who he felt like it. Like, wait, are you sure? Did you talk to the coach about this? Nope.
But also, you must it's a weird conversation. It's you have to praise the person
right.
while dismissing them simultaneously, while talking about some future possible relationship. Like, I'm going to put you on the waiver wires. Now,
and
if
it's
you don't
always,
get picked up.
No, there's a chance.
If you don't get picked up on our team, you can come back and play the practice squad. Like, so there's this weird duality of you've got to leave. We don't really value you, but we really do value you enough to want you back if no one else values you.
It's weird because I get the human instinct to say, like, if you're the one delivering the bad news, that people would say, they always say that, like, it's a tough part of the job. I don't like this part of the job. But really, it's like, it's not, you're removing that, like, yeah, you can still catch on just because we're not keeping you. When you say this is the worst part of the job for me, what you're basically saying is like, yeah, I hate to be the one to have to tell you, but you stink. You're not, you don't meet the minimum standard, so
you know,
go.
You know what the Turk should do? The Turk should have a story of saying, I was the Turk for the Seattle Seahawks for many years, and then at some point there was a knock on my door, and I was let loose as the Turk by a new Turk sheriff in town, but I was picked up by this team.
Oh, so then, then you know what I'm feeling, so then we should continue hanging out, you and me then, right?
Yes, I'll have this conversation where I traveled in your shoes in the role of the Turk, not an outside linebacker.
Quickly, Ace, I want to ask you about what your thoughts were on the penultimate Hard Knocks episode. John Gruden between the Wings ads or whatever he was doing, all the other endorsements he had, plus Monday Night Football, plus the hefty paycheck he gets as a head coach in the NFL for a long time. Isn't it weird that his son is an MMA guy? Wouldn't you be like, you don't have to do that. Hey, boy, we don't want you taking the shots to the head. What did you make of that?
You know, back in the day, all the guys who died racing on the Grand Prix circuit for Ferrari and beyond, all the guys who burned up when those cars were just big tin cans filled with high-octane fuel in the 50s, the 60s, even the 70s, they were gentlemen racers. They were all the heirs of, like, the Revlon throne, you know, and they're all heirs to noblemen and stuff like that. So there is a kind of a weird history of sons of rich guys outputting themselves in harm's way. It's either super pampered and, you know, covered in bubble wrap, or it's the guys. I think it was
you're so right about that.
Peter Revson, the I think Gary will look it up, but the Revlon, the heir to the Revlon throne. I mean, this is a multi-cajillion dollar whatever. Both sons died before their 30th birthday racing cars. The younger brother died at like 22, and Peter Revson died at like 27. They all died.
That's bizarre, but you're absolutely correct about that. And I think it goes back to what we talked about last week with Derek Carr saying, like, oh, my kids are going to have to work. They don't get they don't get my millions of dollars. They're going to have to earn their own. I bet that there's this pressure that's like that forms a chip on your shoulder, like, oh, you're a spoiled kid, silver spoon, you're so rich because you're old man. And so you push back by like, oh yeah, I'll risk my life to prove you wrong.
And let's not forget Abigail Folger, heir to the Folgers coffee fortune, was killed by the Manson family.
That's right.
At Sharon Tate's house. Now, to bring it full circle, if she had mad MMA skills, she could have taken those bitches on.
Isn't that how the Tarantino movie ended?
Pretty much. All right, let me hit True Car. 60 seconds. That's how long this commercial lasts. What else can you do in a minute? You can get an offer on your car. Just go to True Car, use your smartphone or your computer, enter your license plate number, and watch your car's details come popping up. Answer a few questions, get an accurate True Cash offer from your local True Car certified dealer. Then you bring your car in and they'll check it out with you. They'll walk around it, kick some tires, ask some questions, get some answers, no surprises. Then you leave, and you can leave with a check, or you can trade your car in for a new car or a used car. It's always TrueCar. So when you're ready to experience a better way to sell or trade in your car, you check out TrueCar, new car, TrueCar, used car, TrueCar. You want to Uber home with a check in your pocket, you always go. See, with TrueCar.
TrueCar is the real deal. What now feels like a fraud to me is the MMA in general after seeing the video last week of BJ Penn get knocked out by a random guy in a fight in the street.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. You didn't see that video? Oh, yeah.
I saw a video of him getting a street fight.
He said to the guy, hit me. And the guy hit him once. And he said, hit me. And then he knocks him out cold onto the street. It's like, wow. You're an MMA guy. This is bad for your sport. Anywho, more hot sports talk coming at you tomorrow. The holiest day of the year, perhaps, for some sports fans. It's the kickoff of the 2019 NFL regular season. We'll talk to you then. Until then, for Adam Carolla, Dave Damaschek, good sports out.
Follow the Adam Carolla Show on Twitter at Adam Carolla Show. Follow us on Twitter at Adam Carolla if you would like to leave us a voicemail. Here's the phone number, 888-634-1744. Make it a good one. Subscribe to Carolla Classics, hosted by Chris Loxamana and Superfan Giovanni. It's available every week. Tickets and info on all the live podcasts, Man Gree events, books, movies, Adam's stand-up, non-talkable material, and the podcast. Go to AdamCarolla.com.